Jason Whitlock is a partner at Outkick.com, which is a great site. If you haven't checked it out, Outkick.com. Jason Whitlock, it is a pleasure to finally meet you. How are you, sir?
It's great, Mark. Thanks for having me on.
I love what you write. I love how you think. You're independent. You're unpredictable. And yet you make a hell of a lot of sense to me. So I want to ask you a number of questions, if I may. Because sports now is about something bigger than sports. It appears to be, or at least they want to be. I'm watching the NBA and the NFL. Do these players know that they are embracing a Marxist anarchist movement?
No, they have no idea. But one thing I want to be clear on, though, that I'm trying to articulate to everybody, sports have always been a big deal. Mm-hmm. They've always been a driver of American culture. And when you are the NFL and you're the number one show on five different television networks, that makes you the most important thing in popular culture and arguably in American culture. The enemies of America have figured that out, and they put a plan together they've executed over the last 15 years to infiltrate the sports world and move American culture through the sports world. This isn't something that has come out of nowhere. These seeds have been planted and are coming to blossom. Colin Kaepernick, just a useful idiot. LeBron James, just a useful idiot. Do the athletes, they make so much money. They come out of high school, out of college, earn millions of dollars. They're young people with a lot of money. They're attracted to social media. They have no idea what they're involved in, how they're being manipulated and used. And at some point, I'm not even sure if they really care, because for a Kaepernick, a LeBron James, they're tied to Nike. Nike has ties to China that are stronger than their American ties. And so a long-winded answer to say, Mark, no, these guys have no clue, wouldn't understand if you tried to give them a clue. It's the puppet masters above them that are moving them and manipulating them to undermine America at the behest, a very subtle play by China, communist-run China, that's working.
Now, that's interesting. So they do it through, well, money, obviously. Money's power. But they're doing it through sneakers and clothing and that sort of thing? In other words, China?
Well, listen, Nike obviously has business ties to the 1.5 billion people in China, need to be in that market to sell their shoes, have to have ties to the Asian market to have their manufacturing plants use this slave labor. And so what China is doing, or what Nike's doing, and the NBA really doesn't care about the American public. The next big financial score for the NBA is this global agenda that they have. The NBA is a globalist corporation, no different than Nike. Nike's a $40 billion corporation. The NBA is an $8 billion corporation. Nike has helped the NBA understand, if we can improve our relationships with China, the television contract the NBA can get from China could dwarf anything you have in America and from these U.S. television networks. And so China, what have the communists always smeared the West with? Oh, we're racist. The West is racist. The United States is racist. They mistreat black people. That's always been the smear on the West and the United States. That's why these Nike athletes, LeBron James, Colin Kaepernick, are the leaders of smearing America as racist. LeBron James has been to China enough that if he's opened his eyes, he could see how black people are treated in China. He could see the abuse of people of color in China. But because he and Nike want to maintain a good relationship with China, they continue to smear America as the racist place, say nothing about the abuses going on in China. This is a corporate play by Nike. Nike was in bed with President Obama. They prefer Trump's whole America First agenda scares globalist corporations like Nike and wannabe globalist corporations like the NBA.
Wow. I didn't even think of it this way. Absolutely brilliant. Let me ask you this. They talk about systemic racism. They never define it. Are they talking about their fans? Most of them live in extraordinarily wealthy neighborhoods that are mostly white. Are they talking about their neighbors? Most of them send their kids not to the schools in inner city Cleveland or Newark or Washington, D.C. or New York. Send them to suburban schools or private schools. So who do they mean when they say systemically racist? Or they don't mean anything?
What they mean is, honest to goodness, is that someone told them about a column or a book that Ta-Nehisi Coates wrote, and he used the term systemic racism, and they just repeated. And that's their explanation for anything that's happened here that's unfair to black people. Well, that's systemic racism. And the truth doesn't matter. Social media over the last, 7 years has promoted the narrative that the police are just out randomly killing black people. The stats, the evidence, the years of research, none of it backs up this narrative. But social media, Twitter in particular, and the mainstream media is addicted to it, has promoted that narrative through anecdotes. There's anecdotal evidence to prove any narrative you want to make. You can come up with an anecdote that says Jason Whitlock is got one of the best bodies in American history. You can come up with an anecdote to prove that, but the research would tell you, no, the guy's 300 pounds. He's overweight. But you can come up, racist people of either persuasion, black, white, brown, yellow, they can come up with an anecdote to prove their narrative. Does the research bear it out? That's always the stumbling block. And as it relates to the police brutality narrative that they've been riding through social media, it just doesn't stand up against the actual facts and evidence. And as far as these athletes go, and young people in general, I just don't want to single out athletes, they're all addicted to their cell phones and their social media apps, and that's what control, that's as deep as their knowledge of any of these issues go. And so LeBron James has heard people tweet about Ta-Nehisi Coates' book, Between the World and Me, and his narrative that systemic racism explains everything about America. The New York Times has come out with the 1619 Project, brought on by a bunch of activists, female journalists at the New York Times, that says that everything about America is connected to slavery, and that explains everything about America. It's this all of this chaos we're experiencing is seeds that were planted years ago, activist journalists being planted and groomed in all these major media institutions, and now you power them, you amplify their voices through Twitter, and you have a bunch of young, confused people that are just following the Twitter group thing. And if you stray from that course, if you raise your hand and say, hey, I think they're lying, if you're black, they're going to call you a sellout and a coon. If you're white, they're going to call you racist. And so people stand down and don't push back because they don't want to be smeared that way.
Mm-hmm. You know, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar wrote this piece, I'm sure you know, in The Hollywood Reporter. And I agreed with most of it. And being Jewish and all, I see this growing anti-Semitism in one political party. I see, even among athletes, these comments about Jews, and some of this is a repetition of what Farrakhan has said. They're misquoting Hitler, and then other athletes are silent. They haven't spoken up. And Jabbar said, what the hell is this? Either we're for human beings and we're for civil liberties, or we're not. What explains that, do you think?
Listen, when you've been convinced that the most important thing about you is the color of your skin, you're going to lapse into racism. Period. End of discussion. Social media has helped promote the idea that either your race identity or your sexual identity is the most important part of you. And You guys in the political sphere call it identity politics and talk about how dangerous it is, and it really is. As it relates to black people specifically, we had a long history in America of being the most religious people in America. We are being disconnected from our faith-based point of view through politics and through identity politics of race is your defining characteristic. Things I've been writing about on OutKick are about, well, hold on, man. I'm a Christian. I want that to be my defining characteristic, not my race. And so when you start interpreting things through your faith rather than through your race or your sexual identity, the world looks a lot different. But social media is programming us to look at things first through, what does this say about my race? What does it say about another race? What does it say about my sexuality? What does it say about people of a different sexuality? Rather than if you're Jewish faith or Christian faith or Muslim faith, how does God feel about any of these issues? That's being removed from black people in terms of our point of view. And we've been given our race and democratic politics. That's what defines you. And the only way to be black is to embrace democratic politics. If you, again, Joe Biden was not lying when he said, if you don't vote for me, you ain't black. People got upset with Joe Biden. If you don't support the Democratic Party, lock, stock, and barrel, you're not black. And Mark, I don't participate in politics. I've never voted. I don't have a political identity. I've shared with everybody, judge me as a Christian, then judge me as an American. Those are the ways I want to be judged. That gives me a proper outlook as I move through life. I don't want, and again, I love my race. I don't want to be any other race. But I don't want to be judged, and I don't want all of my thoughts to be controlled by race. Because if I wake up every day looking for racism, trust me, I'm going to find it. Mm-hmm. If I wake up every day looking for good things and looking for the God in people, trust me, I find it consistently. It's all about your point of view and what defines your point of view. We've been given the wrong things to define our point of view, politics and our race.
You're a national treasure. You need, I'm sure you're out there, but I need to help expose you to more people. So I'm serious about this. You know, there's like this sports world and then this other world. And I can tell you, many of my listeners may not know who you are. Many may know who you are. But I'm telling you right now, they're cheering you on. And these are people of all races, colors, creeds, religions, and so forth. So I'd like to have you back. Would you like to come back?
No problem, Mark, anytime.
All right, man. Thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Jason Whitlock. Wow. Was he not impressive, Mr. Producer?